Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? Lest we drift away. I want us to talk about that for just a few minutes this evening. Before we get into the lesson, it's good to see everyone here. John, it's good to have you with us this evening. And Jacob, and it makes me feel really good. We've got two young men, college students, that are visiting here that aren't members here, but they want to be with Christians when they can and assemble. And both of you are to be commended to that. You're an encouragement to us, and we hope that we are an encouragement to you. So, drifting. Lest we drift away. There are dangers in drifting, and we recognize that in the physical realm. We think about if we are in a body of water, and we are drifting, we can get off course. If we are in a business and we have sales that we have to monitor, our sales can start drifting away and we go out of business. We think about relationships, married couples. We see drifting in a lot of different areas. Now you think about if we were to travel from here, from the east coast of the United States over to Europe, and if we went by water, like on this slide, if we were on a ship, how would we know if we were on course to get to our destination? There's a danger that we might drift off course because we can't even see where we're headed to. So we've got that danger on the water. What if we were flying in the skies? All we would see is clouds, or look down and see clouds. How would we know that we were on course or that we were getting off course? Well, we need an instrument to know if we were on course or off course. That's the only way we can know. But if we ignore the instrument, we are not going to stay on course. Now we have an instrument for us to stay on course. Right here, I'm holding this. This will keep us on course. But what do many people do? They don't want to use that instrument. And again, as I use so often, this little chart, they want to spin the wheel and use any of these other things instead of the Bible. They'll use their opinions. They'll use the silence of the scriptures. My preacher said this is the answer. My daddy taught me this. My mama taught me that. I read so-and-so's book. He's my favorite writer. All kinds of excuses instead of following this instrument that we have. And again, we see people drifting in so many areas. And it's not uncommon at all to see a couple, either just a couple together or a couple that's been married, and after so long they say, well, we just drifted apart. We just drifted apart. Well, when we think about religion and we have seen churches drift away from God's word throughout history, there have been some marks that stand out. And when they drifted away from God's word, what happened? And in the last generation or so, this phrase, a new hermeneutic has come about. And again, it's nothing new, but the new hermeneutic: thus we reject a rigid pattern theology that simply proposes to transplant religious cultural forms from the Bible to the 20th or 21st century. So you can tell this is old, since they talk about the 20th century along with the 21st. But basically what this is saying is, You can't take this pattern back from the first century and say that it applies today. That's just old-fashioned thinking. It's not going to work. We need a new hermeneutic, a new way of looking at things. This pattern theology, you say you have to have a pattern. It's not limited to a pattern. You can have a pattern, and you can have any of the things on that previous chart that I showed with spin the wheel. Well, the results of that, fewer will attempt to defend their practices using Bible patterns. They won't go to the Word of God to prove what they believe. They'll go somewhere else. Silence of the Scriptures will increasingly be used to approve the practices. They'll say, well, it doesn't say we can't do that. And then ecumenism, or unity in doctrinal and moral diversity, will increase. They'll say, we'll just, I know you believe this and I believe that, but let's just all get along. Let's focus on coming together instead of these things that we don't agree on. And you see that, you see it everywhere with the denominations. The ministerial association here in town, they will accept everybody, and they all have different beliefs, but they accept everybody, and they call that unity. And then you see that in the church, where some people in the church, some churches will accept anybody that has been baptized and say that we are in fellowship with them. Friends, they've drifted away from the Bible. Liberalism says there's no binding pattern for the work of the local church. Whatever love for God and man dictates is the law of God for the church. You got to look at things not from a legalistic standpoint, but from a love standpoint. And again, a couple of these slides are review from our class we went through on Sunday morning. We recognize how absurd some things are in the world, but we don't give them a second thought when it comes to religion. Why can't the American Cancer Society be dedicated to the awareness and prevention and treatment of kidney disease? Why can't somebody from the American Cancer Society walk up and knock on the door and say, will you give me some money, give me a check, just make it out to my name, because I want to help with kidney disease? We understand you'd call the police. That person's a crook. They're a fraud. They have no business trying to collect money for somebody else. They have no authority. They have no authority. And we'd say they're breaking the law. But then in religion, people will break the law all day long and not think a thing about it. And, oh, that's good. Look at how much good we're doing. One other slide I want to throw in here. This morning when we were talking about following Christ as our example and following a pattern, and I had some examples like an algebra example and then an example diagramming a sentence. This, I'm not diagramming a sentence, but I just want to use this sentence to show you how people drift away. Now, the sentence is 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach. And I'm picking out just one point on here, the husband of one wife. And people will say, well, he doesn't have to have a wife. If he had a wife and she died, he can still be an elder. But when you look at this sentence, and again, this is why I say we must, it's good to know the Greek, but it's important to know the English. Must be, a bishop then must be, this modifies all the qualifications. He must be blameless, he must be the husband of one wife, he must be temperate, he must be sober-minded, he must be of good behavior, he must be hospitable, he must be able to teach. You can't get away from that. And be, what kind of word is be? That's a verb. Well, verbs have tenses. Is that a present tense, a past tense, a future tense? It's a present tense. He must be, a bishop must be. And that must is the same as in John 3, verse 7. Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. Are we going to drift away from that? People do that. They drift away. They get away from the Bible. They use human reasoning. They use any and everything except God's word, and it'll take you off course. So lest we drift away, it's not uncommon for Christians to drift toward destruction. So we've got to ask ourselves, I've got to ask myself, am I drifting? Are you drifting? Would you know if you are drifting? So with this lesson, I hope for us to examine ourselves to see if we are in God's Word or if we are drifting away from God's Word. So some things that we should know about drifting. Drifting requires no effort. Have you ever been like in a little rubber raft in a swimming pool or in a creek or on a pond and you're just laying there? You don't have to do a thing and the current will just move you along. It's just natural. It just moves you along. You don't have to do a thing and you can drift. If you are on a creek, a river, if you're in a canoe and you're going along and you're paddling, you're rowing, you stop paddling, you stop rowing, what's going to happen? You're going to start drifting. This is the same that's true for a Christian. We must give the more earnest heed. We must be aware of what we are doing this. So again, it requires no effort. Drifting is an unconscious process. It's real easy, again, if you're in that boat, in that canoe, to be drifting and be unaware. You just stop paddling, you stop rowing, and you aren't aware, but you're getting off course. You're drifting. And sometimes it's because of the undercurrents underneath. And friends, this world is full of undercurrents. That's the power of Satan out there. And he's going to try to get us off course. In a plane, if we're back to talking about that plane going from America to Europe, you get up so high and there's going to be the gravitational pull of the earth. There's going to be winds. There's going to be currents. And if they just take the plane up and set back and let it go, it's not going to go on course. You are not going to be on course by accident. You are not going to be doing what God wants you to do by accident. These things we understand in the physical realm. We need to make application in the spiritual realm. Many Christians have slowly drifted away. All of us, I'm sure we have friends and family. Many congregations have slowly drifted away. And for different reasons. Maybe because elders have stopped preaching the truth. Preachers have stopped. It may be because someone in the pulpit, he's a popular preacher, and you see this every so often. He may be a very popular preacher, and just to use an example, he gets involved in a relationship with another woman that's not right, then they start justifying it, then the church takes sides. Well, we can't get rid of him, he's such a good person. And, well, I think we ought to do this. And again, they argue every way except going back to the Bible. And then you have people drifting away. You have congregations drifting away. And when you drift away so far, again, you're unaware. You don't even know where you are. Something else with drifting And so when I was going back into ancient history, when I was out of high school, and I, one week, I went on a canoe trip with a group and on the Little Miami River, and we put in Beaver Creek out at Valley Road, Little Miami, and we went all the way down to Cincinnati before it got to the Ohio River. And it was very interesting. Each day, the farther downstream we went, the faster the current was. And you know, I'm not a swimmer, and I'm not that fond to be around water. And I didn't want to get anywhere close to the Ohio River. But you go down, the farther downstream you go, the faster the current goes. And that's the way it is with drifting. You say, you let something come in, and you might question it, and then you accept it. And then when you let this come in, what's going to happen? Something else is going to come in, and things go a little bit faster, and then something else, and something else. And we understand that it's just one of those natural laws of drifting, and it's one of those natural laws in the spiritual realm. And when you read Romans 1, and you look at where God gave them over to, and then that list just keeps going down deeper and deeper and deeper, where they went into sin, where God just let them do what they wanted to do. So it's an unconscious process. We never drift upstream. The speed downstream increases. It's dangerous to others. Just thinking about ships, you see like a small body of water, a river along a city, and there's a lot of boats and ships out in it. If they aren't paying attention, if they aren't staying on course, they can run into each other. It's, you see sometimes, I know years ago, again, like 4th of July and times when we'd be down on the Ohio River and at other places and see them shooting off all of these fireworks, and people would be on their boats out there enjoying the view from the boats. They aren't paying attention, and they're just drifting along. They're going to cause danger. They're going to run into somebody. We must pay attention. If as parents we aren't paying attention to our children, what's going to happen? Our children are going to drift away from the Lord. If we aren't paying attention, we're going to be tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine. And what's the end result? It ends in shipwreck. When we drift off course, it's going to end in shipwreck. A boat drifting will crash on rocks or go over falls. For those who spiritually drift through their own neglect, there's going to be no escape from punishment. And again, so we can go out and we can willfully sin. We can willfully break God's law. We can be defiant. God told me to do this. I'm not going to do this. He said, don't do this. I'm going to do it. And we can go to hell. Or we can just stop doing anything and just go along and float along and drift along. And where's that going to take us? It's just going to take us right down the path of destruction with no escape. So there's the danger of drifting is real. And we need to ask ourselves, am I drifting? And we need to ask each other, because we want to warn people. You see somebody headed for a waterfall, you don't say, oh goody, look what's going to happen to them. You want to save them. You want to rescue them. Well, what are some common signs of drifting? And there are a lot of them, but one of the signs of drifting is when we have less and less desire to study God's word and to pray. You know, the Bible is a unique book. You can read it over and over and over and learn something new every time. Some of the series that I use with the Bible photos and the just the information, it's like, I've never thought of this before. I didn't know this. You know, it's, you can study it your whole life and learn something new every time. But when we begin to drift, I'll get around to reading some more tomorrow. I'm busy today. I'll catch up on my reading tomorrow. But without God's revelation, how could we know where we came from? How could we know what our purpose is? How could we know what God expects us to do? How can we know what our destiny is? Where we are going to end up, where we are going to be after this life? We aren't going to know any of that until we spend time in God's Word. And friends, I love all of you, but I'm not going to take your word for it. You tell me something, I want to see what God has to say about it. And I hope that's the same with me. You don't believe what I say. You want to look in the Bible to see what God says. Because we can be led astray. The Bible tells us of the consequences of sin. How God saves us from sin. It provides us with directions for living a happy, useful life. And we think about prayer. Prayer is a wonderful blessing where we can communicate with our Father. You stop and think about that. Our God, He's not just God. He's not just creator of everything, but He's our Father, and He wants to have a relationship with us. And we can communicate with Him. And whatever the problem is, who has more power and control to change something than the one that created everything? You know, and we'll go to the store and we'll look for self-help books. We'll watch Dr. So-and-so or listen to this person or that person. And God has all the answers for us. But when we start drifting, we lose the desire to study. We lose the desire to pray, and we drift more and more. Another way we can tell that we're drifting is we start losing the desire to be with God's people. And we've seen that here. I would dare to say every congregation has seen that. People start missing services. They miss more. And they have a diminishing desire to be with God's people. And then you talk to them about it. No, I can do this, and God's going to accept this. And won't it be great when all of us get to heaven? Well, when we all get to heaven, you're going to be with other brothers and sisters. Don't you want to be with brothers and sisters now? But you see, they lose that desire. And why do they lose the desire to study God's word? Why do they lose the desire to pray? Why do they lose the desire to be with God's people? Because their desire for things in the world grows. It grows. And it may not be something bad, but it's just those worldly things that get their attention. It may be the pride of life. Maybe the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh. There's something else that attracts them. But one of the ways that we can keep from drifting is building. You look at it from the opposite side, the other side of the coin. One of the ways we can keep from drifting is to spend more time in God's Word, to spend more time praying, to spend more time with God's people, and there's going to be less chance of drifting. And I can guarantee you one thing for sure. You're going to get in a lot less trouble tonight from 5 o'clock to 6 o'clock if you're here than if you're somewhere else. You're going to be tempted to do less things if you're here than if you're somewhere else. But you're expecting too much and you're too legalistic. But then when you miss this service, it's easier to miss the next one and the next one. And then pretty soon, your conscience, it doesn't bother you at all. And you can talk to people and, well, who are you to tell me that I've got to be there every service? You know, I love God and I read my Bible and I pray to Him. I don't have to be there. And what's happened? They have drifted off course. They once, and that's the danger of drifting. It takes you downstream, and the farther you go, the faster you go, and then pretty soon you get to the point you can't return. You can't return. But there's also a diminishing desire to share God's word with other people. If you're drifting away from God, you're thinking about all these other things to do out there in the world. Are you going to be thinking about that person that you see every day? Are you going to be thinking about sharing the gospel with them? We are warned about loving the things of the world. And Paul warned Timothy, he described some of those who were lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And if we reach the point where we find pleasure in some worldly activity more than meeting with brothers and sisters to come to worship God, we have drifted away from God. So there are some signs that point out of our drifting away. The diminishing desire to study God's word, to pray, to be with God's people, to share the gospel. What are some remedies? What are some ways that we can keep from drifting? Spiritually speaking, we've got to keep rowing. We've got to keep paddling. That involves diligence. Peter talks about that in 2 Peter 1, 5 and 10. And we must be diligent in our efforts. A Christian that gives a half effort, that's lazy, has a lackadaisical attitude, he is not going to be pleasing to God. We're God's children. We're God's children. We're different than the world. We must be diligent. We must make every effort, like we talked about this morning, work out our salvation. Where do we work out our salvation? And when we work it out now in this time, because after this time, we aren't going to have another chance or opportunity to do that. And Jesus said, I must work because the night is coming. We must be diligent. That's going to keep us from drifting. But if we aren't working for the Lord, if we aren't reading His Word, if we aren't studying, if we aren't sharing, if we aren't having Bible studies, if we aren't coming together to exhort and encourage each other, all of us here are going to be attracted to something out there in the world. And friends, somebody told me this before, and I thought about it, and I would have to agree with it, but we are only one sin away from losing our soul. Now, any sin separates us from God, but you think we are only one sin away from losing our soul. Because what if I said tonight, well, I've got a lot going on. I've got a big week ahead on me. I'm just going to lay back and stay home and take it easy tonight. And then again, the next time it's a little bit easier. And then it's the point of no return. So we've got to keep rowing. We've got to get out of our mind this idea that the world has of Christian retirement. Well, I've done my time. I've worked long. It's time for the young people to take over. It's time for the young people to take over along with the old people, assisting and showing them how to do that. And I think some of the people that have influenced me the most, and it's kind of funny because I was a lot younger and they seemed really old, and they were probably my age or younger than I am now. But in the church, there's no retirement. There's no retirement. We keep working and working, and that's something that's come about in this country in the recent years, this idea that, you know, you've earned your rest. You don't need to produce anymore. We'll take care of you. Don't worry. So we've got to keep that in mind or we're going to drift. We've got to watch out for the undercurrents, the temptations. And you can go down a river and it looks calm, and then you come to a certain place and there's going to be an undercurrent that's going to grab you. And then what do? How you react to that determines if you're going to keep staying on course or if it's going to flip you off course. We live in the flesh. We wage a fleshly war. We see things, we hear things, we are bombarded with things every day. And I tell you, the thing that bombards us so much, if you listen to news or TV, you're just going to get so much stuff. You got to be selective. Don't just be selective in what you listen to and watch, or else it's just like taking a lid off a dumpster and jumping in. There may be some good stuff in there, but there's all that garbage in there too. And if we just jump into that garbage, we're going to drift. We've got to, if we want to keep from drifting away, we've got to expect to go against the tide. The world is going to pull us in the direction back to the world. Very subtly, very overtly, in the church. You know, Satan has, again, what does Satan want to do? He wants to keep us out of the church. If we go into the church, he wants to take us back into the world. If he can't take us back into the world, he wants to make us useless in the church. And there's a lot of useless Christians in the church that are working for Satan. And he's happy they are there. And he is content to have them there because they will influence other people. And then you just have more and more people drifting down. So we have to have in our minds that we are going to go against the tide. We don't want to go that broad way. We want to go that narrow way. We need to teach our children, our grandchildren, when they are young, you're going to be different when you grow up. Not different in a bad way, different in a good way. Because you're going to be different than the world. We are just pilgrims here. We are just passing through. This world is not my home. We don't want to go along with the tide. We've got to go against it. So some remedies. We've got to keep rowing. We've got to be diligent. We've got to expect to go against the tide. And also, we have to have a strong anchor. We have to have a strong anchor lest we drift away. When I was looking for some pictures of anchors, and I saw this one, and I thought, that looks like a pretty good anchor. And it's covered with all kinds of things, but you know, it has stood the test of time. We need a strong anchor that has stood the test of time. We need an anchor that is rooted and grounded in Christ. We need minds that must be anchored in the truth. We need to possess an unshakable hope. Friends, we have the hope of heaven. Heaven. Do we want to throw that away just to drift down the stream into sin along with a bunch of other people? We need to have an anchor that's rooted and grounded in the love of Christ. And without that anchor, we are tossed to and fro. So we need a strong anchor. And again, we don't want to see how little or how small what we can get away with. Because Satan is out there to get us. And we need a strong anchor so we don't drift. Ephesians 4:14, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. So friend, where are we drifting? You know, the danger is real, and it would be foolish to say otherwise. Many have drifted away from the Lord. Maybe I have drifted away from the Lord. Maybe you have. what was the accusation, the charge against the church at Ephesus? They had left their first love. They just drifted apart. They just drifted apart. Are there signs of drifting in your life? They're visible signs. We've got to honestly ask ourselves, are we studying God's word? Do we desire to be with God's people? Do we have a desire to save the lost? Or am I too much in love with the world and I don't think about those things? Hebrews 2:1. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proves steadfast, and every transgression and every disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? Friends, we aren't going to escape God. We must stay on course. We must give the more earnest heed. We do not want to drift away. Friends, if there's anybody here this evening that is struggling with that, you need prayers, you need to confess sins, you need the congregation, you need to respond to the gospel invitation. If you need to respond in any way, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.